This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Thanks to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Dan Patrick Show. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it all. Also, breaking ground on NIL, they've got some of the biggest names in college sports. They had Caitlin Clark in there, Angel Reese, and a lot of the upcoming NFL and NBA first-round draft picks. And if you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net with some of the first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered, and the best trading card brands, Prism, Select, Donruss, and so many more. And for those NFL draft fans, get real-time trading cards after players are picked with Panini Instant Cards, celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Dan Patrick Show.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
I was just talking about my vacation where I went to Montana fly fishing. Do you got a, like an adventure vacation you've ever taken?
No. Now, Chrissy just asked me that. He said, what dangerous thing have you done? I'm like, nothing ever. I mean, no. I've been to Montana, but I've not. If I went there today, Dan, I would go with golf clubs. Trying to find that same course that those guys played, you know, last week. But no, there's no danger. I've never been fly fishing. Went fishing once when I was 11 years old with my Uncle Bill in Chicago and vowed never to go fishing again. And I've kept that vow.
Well, you're not an outdoorsman like me. You're not a man.
Okay. I'll take your word for that. What golf is somehow less, less than fishing.
Yes.
How many times are you? Okay. I've known you a long time. We've known each other a long time. I have never heard you tell fly fishing stories. We've never done that.
Once every 20 years, I do it, Mike.
Okay.
Yeah. The last time I went fly fishing was in British Columbia in 1989.
What made you do it this time?
I had to man up a little bit. I was getting a little soft, you know how you writers used to call us, you know, talking hairdos.
We still do.
Yeah.
Even though
I would love to call you a talking hairdo. You just, you don't got any hair.
That's right.
Yes.
Thankfully I fall outside that categorization.
Before I get to the Bucks and the Suns, the United States lost to Nigeria.
Yeah.
Okay. Should we care about this as we head into the Olympics with this team? And I know there's some guys still playing in the finals, but and it's a friendly, but the United States lost to Nigeria in basketball.
Dan, I was here in Chicago two nights ago when that game was going on, and I was at the WNBA game, Mystics and the Sky. I wanted to go and see my friend Candace Parker play, and I'm with a bunch of guys who have been sports writers, I think all in TV now, all of whom you know. You know, Jay Adonde, David Aldridge, Mark Spears, Vinnie Goodwill, you know the whole, the crew, Sean Powell. And we're sitting there and we're monitoring this score, right? We're monitoring that game. We're at a game and we're going, each guy turns to the other and goes, oh my God, we're losing to Nigeria with, you know, 7 minutes left, with 4 minutes left, with 30 seconds left. And then the question from each one of us to the other was, how big a deal is this? Like, should we care about this? Is it a friendly? Is it an exhibition? Is it a warm-up? Is it practice? Is Kevin Durant really playing? And so even as you ticked off the answers, kind of yes, 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 I think it's important because we never even remember how crazy the reporting of the scrimmage loss, the Dream Team lost to like Chris Webber and Grant Hill and Bobby Hurley. And yeah. I don't even know who all was on that team. But those guys were the headliners. And we cared about it. And those guys, Jordan, Barkley, Magic, Bird, they wanted us to care because they cared. They cared enough to threaten the lives of those college players, right? And said, you will be shut out summarily tomorrow, which they essentially did. They cared and they wanted us to care. So using that criteria, Dan, we got what's the care scale? Like, is it a 7? It's not a 9. I'm going to go better than 5, though. What about you?
Yeah, I'm up there with it. But I think it's really a testament to the rest of the world,
yes,
that how important basketball is. And you can go back to the Dream Team and what the Dream Team birthed around the world. And I think we've seen that. I think you've seen that with the, you know, players from Europe who come over, you know, the Greek Freak. I don't know what that impact had on him or Luka Doncic. You know, the Joker, like these guys who, you know, probably were young if they were even born and watching that Dream Team and what that Dream Team meant, getting videos, getting VHS tapes in these other countries. I mean, that the importance of that is not lost on me. So as much as I'd like to say the United States went through the motions, you know, give credit to Nigeria that this really meant something to them.
And Dan, I've been on this crusade that the All-Star Game, which has become a complete and utter waste of time, the NBA All-Star Game, waste of time. I don't want to see people choosing up sides and going shirts and skins. I don't give a damn about that. The NBA, for some reason, is studiously avoiding having U.S. versus the world. If we had that game, even the last 5 years, okay, just think if we had that game this coming All-Star Game, right? Look at the bigs you've got just the front line. You mentioned Giannis, of course. Embiid, Joker, the MVP of the league. If you just had the three of them and you've got Doncic, who you've already mentioned, and you've got Jamal Murray. Okay, is that a starting five you'd like to see play against an all-star team of U.S. players? Of course it is. And I don't know if the league is embarrassed that it might, that the U.S. team, even though the NBA, all those guys belong to that fraternity, why won't they do it? Why won't they do something that you could actually sink your teeth into All-Star Week as opposed to the junk that it, and it's junk. It's an exhibition of dunking. We already got a dunk contest. Let's see the best in the world because you know there's pride. They'd want to do it. If you put those 10 guys out there, those 24 guys out there, they're going to want to win. And the All-Star Weekend becomes something valuable instead of the junk that the game is junk. But you look at the testament to the rest of the world. I am 100% with you on that. And look at, again, I just named 5 guys off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Look at all the players that you have coming along, the young Canadian players in addition to Jamal Murray, the young African players, going back to your question about Nigeria. I think this is a significant development, and I'd like to see it explored more by the NBA.
He's Hall of Famer Michael Wilbon, ESPN's Pardon the Interruption co-host, and of course, part of ESPN ABC's NBA coverage. Giannis is always interesting, and it's not like he's polarizing. I think people want to make his style polarizing or his star status polarizing. And I always wondered about this. When I watched Wilt Chamberlain play, I never said, gosh, I don't know why he's not taking jumpers. When I watched Shaq, I never said, gosh, he's not taking jumpers. When I watched Kareem, I never said, boy, he doesn't do anything other than a sky hook. Why is it that we can't just, like, the Greek Freak can be dominating. I don't need him to shoot a 3 to keep the defense honest. You know, Ben Simmons has to learn to shoot because he's on the perimeter and he handles the ball. I want the Greek Freak down low, dominating. Like, I'm okay game, with that, Mike.
Every possession. Dan, you know this means we're old. That, first of all, let's start with that. Let's just declare you and I are.
That's assumed.
We're philosophically aligned completely. So, okay, here, I don't want him shooting threes. I do want him to develop a 14 to 16 foot shot. So the wall they put up, he can do something else other than maybe pick up two or three offensive fouls a game trying to crash through it. So that's as far as I go. Otherwise, I am entirely with you. His team's shortcomings to this point are not his fault at all. When you go 42 and 13 a couple of nights, don't tell me what more that guy needs to do. Somebody else needs to do more. And I think it's polarizing, Dan, because we've got this thing which is fairly attractive otherwise, positionless basketball. Yeah. I do applaud that and the versatility it brings to the game for others. But my God, this guy is a great player. He's a legitimate two-time MVP. The shortcomings seem to belong more to his coach and his teammates. And I don't need to see him do anymore. I need to see him do what he did last night. In fact, when he wanders out there and shoots the three, he hurts his team. His team is less. And this is just dumb. The fact that the Bucks may come out Wednesday night and go out and hoist threes and be down by 18. Because this is what they've done the whole postseason. They play a specific way. You know it works. It works to the tune of championship level play. And it's just Kendrick Perkins. You could say Kendrick, my man Kendrick, was a bit strong when he said the dumbest team ever in the finals. But Dan, they do things you just can't understand what they're doing because they've proven they can win this way, kicking your butt in the paint with that guy leading the way. Oh, but it's not good enough even for them. So I'm with you. I'm with you. I don't get it, and I think it hurts them.
Well, look, Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday they're not guys that you're going to build around, but they need to be complementary figures that I just want Giannis down low. I don't want him handling the ball, bringing it up the floor, because you can set up that wall that Miami did last year in the playoffs. If I have him down low, okay, now what are you going to do? And if Middleton and Holiday hit shots,
yes,
that to me makes them formidable. If everybody stands around for Giannis to dribble down and then try to break through, then you're not getting good basketball. If I put him down low, Ayton's got to guard him. You put him in foul trouble. And then I got Middleton and Holiday who are going to be single covered and maybe at times, left alone. That to me would be, my approach to this for the Milwaukee Bucks.
And that is the approach. I sat with both games in Phoenix. I sat between Isaiah Thomas and Avery Johnson. And, again, I'm sitting with guys who now would be called by the entire basketball world younger than them, old guys. They're only guys who are, great and played with intellect and won championships. And they said exactly what you're saying. I was waiting for I'm waiting for them, knowing basketball the way they do, to say, no, it's okay to do this. And they're both – and they coached – and they're going, oh, my God, what is this? Yeah. Why isn't he here? And he's a willing passer, right? And he's a tough guy. He's a legitimate tough guy who doesn't shy away. And so, okay, the free throws could be a problem, and maybe that's a problem late in the, in the game, not last night. But, Dan, that's the Milwaukee Bucks conundrum. What are they going to do Wednesday night, and what are they going to do in what many presume would be a game 5 Saturday back in Phoenix?
Another thing that I don't understand is, as much as I love watching Devin Booker can disappear on you. And for a guy who has that Mamba mentality and Kobe was there to mentor him, I just don't see that as much. And I maybe I'm asking too much, but we've seen a guy scored 70 in a game. I expect him to be maybe more consistent in that, just pressuring the defense there. And there are times he just sort of floats and gives you a 3-for-15 night.
I think that he hasn't – this is his first time on any stage. His first time. And remember, this is his first time in the playoffs. And I think he's learning still the difference between that level – of pressure and becoming that consistent. He had a bad game last night. Although I think what happens is, as great as they are, the level of player above him and more experienced, they had bad games too.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure LeBron has had a bad game or two in a series. I think I want Booker to have, out of a 6-game series, I want him to have 3 great games. I think he's done that. I think he's done that. Now, last night he had a bad game. And now here's what we got to see. The star bounces back. You know, when Kobe told him famously, as he wears the tattoo, to be legendary, this is when you create your legend. This is when you build it. Now, he did it against the Lakers. He did it against Denver. He even did it against the Clippers. Multiple games where he was great.
Yeah.
Now, he did it in games 1 and 2. He didn't do it in game 3, obviously. If Devin Booker's going to be that guy that you are talking about, and I believe he can be, then he needs to do that in game 4. And maybe 5 or 4 and 6. He's got to do that 2 more times to get to be the best player on the floor. Chris Paul's the most important player on the floor wearing his jersey, that jersey. But he's got to do it to get them to hoist that trophy. And then he's sort of fulfilling what Kobe thought he could be.
The Lakers in the offseason, LeBron's a great recruiter, but I don't know how much maneuverability they have to be able to recruit. If you're the Lakers, what would be priority number one?
Well, you got to figure out, and I don't know if you can figure this out, but the priority would be, how is Anthony Davis going to consistently contribute? And look, I love Anthony Davis, right? I mean, his game, who he is, I'm predisposed. He's a Chicago boy like I am. I love Anthony Davis. But when people say top 5 player, I'm like, I'm not going there, because I can name 5 I'm going to take ahead of him. Now, he's in that next group, and there's no sin in that. My God, he's been a championship player already. But you got to figure out what you're going to get from him and how frequently. Because I don't believe, Dan, and I don't know what you believe about this, I don't believe these injuries and people missing all this time, I don't believe these are one-offs. I believe this is where the league is. I believe they ought to go to a 65-game schedule, which they're not going to do. How reliable can he be going forward with LeBron?
He's got to get in shape, Mike.
I agree. So you got to address that. And if you come up with an answer you think is satisfactory, if you're the Lakers brass and you're LeBron, okay. But if that's not your answer, then what do you do? Who's your second guy? You know, there's all this buzz out there now. You know, I'm around, you know, when you're in NBA circles, my God, the rumors about the NBA trades, acquisitions, free agency are the juiciest ones. Most of them make no sense. But the Lakers have so little flexibility that they can't just go and get somebody. They're going to have to either make a deal, be very creative, get Anthony Davis. Can Anthony Davis play 72 games next year and be Anthony Davis? Well, that hasn't happened like all that often. So I think determining that to the degree that you can is the place that the Lakers have to start.
Would you trade Anthony Davis for Damian Lillard?
I knew that was going to come up. I love that. That's one of those I was talking about. Okay. My first inclination is yes. But where do you get then? Okay, so let's say you got Dame and LeBron out there. Do you have size? Do you have, I mean, wings who are 6'8 and 6'9 seem to be growing on trees.
Yeah.
And again, all we got to do is go back and watch Nigeria beat the U.S. in that friendly. So where do you get that? Like, they don't have that otherwise. And it seems to me that dynamic. I mean, LeBron is that, but you need a couple. You can't just go say, well, Paul George would be a great fit as a 2.5 or a 3. Let's get him. And they don't have the money. I was told all week, stop. They can't do what you're maybe suggesting.
What about Porzingis for Ben Simmons?
Well, is LeBron at this point? We know LeBron has been patient enough. God, the years that LeBron led teams to the finals that didn't have anywhere near what you're talking about suggests, okay, LeBron is going to work with these guys. At this stage, is he going to be patient enough? Porzingis plays like 49. He plays fewer games than Anthony Davis.
No, no.
But
if you said Philly and Dallas – now, I don't like it just because Luka's always got the ball. And, like, what's the complimentary player who can play with Luka?
Dame. Not complimentary, but a shoe. Like, seriously, a guy who can shoot it. Dame's unfair. Okay, so next level guy, you know, a top 20 player.
Okay, CJ McCollum.
Well, now, and see, we know CJ doesn't have to have the ball.
Yeah.
Because we've seen Dame have the ball, and that worked to at least the degree of the conference final. Here's what's got to happen for them, though, Dan, real quickly. Luka's got to be more mature. Luka right now is like, he's like not glorified. He's Rasheed Wallace in terms of impact. Obviously, he has the ball. He has more diverse skills and all that. But he's out of control. He is completely immature on the floor. He undermined his own effort in that series. They should have won. Because he's screaming at the other bench because he's up 30-9. Yeah. He is unbelievably immature, and they got to fix that. And Rick Carlisle, people don't leave when a player is great as Luka Doncic.
Yeah.
But they left. So something else has to be done there. I don't think it's just player acquisition, but I'm kind of with you there on who he needs.
Hey, great to talk to you. Congrats on the Hall of Fame.
Thank you. Tell Todd never introduce me that way ever again.
Sir Michael Wilbon joining us here. Have you been knighted yet?
If I can be like Sir Nick, I'll be knighted. Hey, can't you come to a game? Can't you bring the whole party to a game like old times?
No.
Come on. You're turning into Tony being in the attic for, you know, for the rest of your life. It was fun having you at games.
You know what, Mike? When the Bulls are back, I'm bringing the guys to Chicago. How's that?
There's your guy. There's your guy for Luka, Zach LaVine. Although I don't want to lose Zach from what they're trying to do in Chicago, so I strike that.
Thank you, Mike. Great to talk to you again, buddy. That's Michael Wilbon, ESPN. Pardon the interruption, co-host and part of ESPN ABC NBA coverage. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
NBA fans, listen up. You got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is really simple. Select a player who will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for big cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using the promo code DPSHOW and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with the promo code DPSHOW, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We know that quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for you and your partner whenever you want. Two beds in one, firmer or softer on each side, you decide. And it helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature as well, quiets their snoring, so you stay sleeping comfortably all night long. Sleep Number does everything. My Sleep Number setting is 75. Sleep Number smart beds learn how you sleep. They provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. You will never need another bed. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Joined by Harold Reynolds, former Gold Glove winner and Major League Baseball Network analyst. HR, where are you right now?
DP, I'm hooking you up, man. I walked over here to Coors Field. You see the entrance behind me?
Yeah.
And then I'm going to show you. This is media day.
Okay.
All lined up. It's going to be outdoors for the first time. All the tables, all the players will come down and talk to everybody today. So that starts, I think, in a couple hours.
Weather is going to be fine?
It's going to be 90.
Ooh.
It's been roasting hot. So, yeah, it'll be good.
All right. If I gave you Shohei Ohtani or the field tonight?
If you gave me Shohei Ohtani on the field.
Or the field in Home Run Derby.
Oh, he's going to outdo everybody. Well, combined, there's going to be more home runs, but he's going to hit the longest one. Dan, I'll tell you, when I first went to Angels camp 3 years ago, and Shohei had just been there like two or three days. I got there fairly early. I get to camp, and I'm like, Mike Trout. So I'm standing there talking to Mike. I said, Mike, tell me about Shohei Ohtani. And he grabs me by the shoulder and goes, I've never seen power like this ever. I'm like, are you kidding me? And Justin Upton walks up and he says, Harold, he's hit some on the rocks one-handed. Oh, you got to be kidding me. Now we're really seeing it. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm always curious about this question that comes up about, hey, would you have him just concentrate on hitting or would you just let this play out? I mean, they lost him already for a season due to, you know, arm injury with pitching, but How would you play this out with Shohei Ohtani if you were Joe Maddon?
I think Joe's the perfect manager. I'd let it play out. You know, and the other thing is we get caught up in worrying about how great was Bo Jackson when we look back at it. We had him doing football and baseball. That's an amazing story. So if you take away the pitching from Shohei, he's just another glorified home run hitter. It's the fact that he's pitching, throwing 100 miles an hour, that makes him an attraction like we've never seen before. So let him keep doing it.
How is he as a pitcher?
Great stuff. I think too early on they used too many breaking balls, put him in trouble. The last three or four games I've watched him pitch, he started attacking with the fastball. And, you know, when you're throwing 97, 98, and nobody's ever hit you. I remember this with Yu Darvish. I went to Yu Darvish's first game when he came over here, all the hype and the spring training. And I don't remember who it was, but they turned around his fastball and hit it over the monster in center. And he started throwing breaking balls the rest of the game. You got to think, they've never had anybody hit that fastball.
Yeah.
So I think that had to happen to Shohei, too. He's starting to figure it out now.
Is there a pitch you can get him out on? Because it feels like everybody's got a hole. There's a book on you after a couple of times through the league.
Yeah, I think you can go down and out on him a lot more, and you can keep him off speed with some breaking balls. The amazing thing about what he's doing offensively is Mike Trout's out, and they keep pitching to him. What are these knuckleheads doing? I don't get it.
But also, when I want the sound, I told people if I just showed up and listened to him take batting practice, like I don't need to see the ball. I hear the ball, and it just sounds different. Do you remember a guy that had that similar sound when the ball left his bat?
It was Bo Jackson. You know, I sound like the old Buck O'Neill talking about Josh Gibson, Babe Ruth, and Bo Jackson. It's the only time you heard those sounds. And I'm telling you, another Bo Jackson story for you. So we're hitting in the Kingdome early, and now it's Bo knows Bo is full form. He already runs over Bosworth. He's ran 100 yards for a touchdown to King Dome. So the next year he's taking BP. And he's telling me, he's already thrown me out. So we became friends. He's telling me, you know, switch hitter either. You can't run and you can't switch hit. And he's taking BP. He's hit. And he turns around to the left side and says, Bo's a switch hitter. And he hits one, Dan. He hits one into the fifth deck in the King Dome. Now, I've been there 10 years in Seattle, and I only saw 5 balls go up there. It was ridiculous. So that's how I think of Shohei. It's the only athlete I can think that we've never come across before is Bo.
But if he had concentrated on just baseball, if Bo Jackson had, finish that statement.
Well, he'd be in Cooperstown. There's no doubt about it. He was just starting to figure it out. The other thing, if you drop Bo into this generation right now where strikeouts didn't matter, we may not see the broken bat over the knee, but we'd see some big swings and some long balls.
But also Reggie Jackson famously, you know, he struck out more than anybody. But imagine Reggie Jackson in today's baseball world.
It's just a different game. It just really is. I mean, it's like your favorite sport, like basketball. Guys shooting threes all the time. Imagine all the great scores of the years past. Those guards like Pistol Pete and stuff with the three-point line. And if you said that's the most important, it's just a different time we're playing in.
He's Harold Reynolds, the former Gold Glove winner. Gave us one of his Gold Gloves and then famously took it back. MLB Network analyst. Yeah, that still hurt. Because you know what? It was such a crappy trophy that when we first got that, like, we thought it was gold. And it was just a glove they spray painted, Harold, and said, here's your Gold Glove.
Yeah, if that thing was gold, that would have been spent a long time ago.
Are the Astros trying to play the role of victims?
It's so tired, Dan. Look, you're going to get booed. You've been booed. I understand. If you have an injury and you're not coming to the All-Star game, I'll give you a pass. I understand it. But if it's what I'm hearing, that they're not coming because they don't want to be booed, it is one of the tiredest things I've ever heard in sports. It's not living up to the responsibility of what you should be. And it's disappointing to the core. It's disappointing if that's the case.
Well, you had Altuve when, you know, hits the walk-off. And look, he's a wonderful player. And I don't
Hold
know.
Hold on one sec. Somebody's backing up a car.
Yeah,
on me.
I don't.
Hey, I got Dan Patrick on.
Yeah, I don't want you to get hurt, Harold.
Hold on one second. Hold on one second. See, this is Dan Patrick. And he's like live right now. And he said, can you stop the beeping? You're messing up the show. See? Dan, you got pull, man.
All right. Is that the porta potty guy?
No, actually, yeah, he is, actually. Appropriately.
Yeah, right on cue with me talking to you.
I'll be like 30 more seconds. He's not going to let me talk much longer.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I don't want you to. Harold Reynolds injured by porta potty is not a good headline for you.
So you get everything down here.
Yeah.
Well, they're getting ready. You know, there's our set for MLB tonight. The red carpet is going to run through here, Dan, as well. So they're going to have fans lined up on the side over there and over there, and the players will walk straight down here on the red carpet all the way to the stadium and to the entrance there. So that's where I'm standing.
Hey, have fun. We'll be watching later today. Always great to catch up with you.
Thanks, my friend. Gotcha.
Harold Reynolds. Yeah, Harold gave us one of his Gold Gloves, and then we got it, and I went, what a disappointment. He loaned it to us, and we got it, and we went, God, that's all you get for being a Gold Glove winner? It was just a baseball glove, and it was spray painted. And then it had two baseballs there. And I thought, you could have made this in shop class. By the way, MLB Network's coverage of the All-Star Game festivities starts at 2 Eastern today, tomorrow at 3 Eastern. Plus, MLB Network will debut a documentary on Fernando Tatis Jr., this Wednesday at 8 Eastern. Isn't it a little early for a documentary on Fernando Tatis Jr.? The early years of Fernando Tatis Jr. III? Yes, Paulie.
When Harold sent us that Gold Glove, again, I've never seen one in person, I thought he was punking us. Like he got someone to put a little wood stand, grabbed an old Rawlings A2000 and some Rust-Oleum and sent it in. I thought we were being punked.
God, that was bad. I felt bad because, you know, Harold won 3 of those. And I thought, you know, when Darius Rucker loaned us his Grammy, now that had some weight to it. That was, it wasn't his big a trophy as I thought. I mean, it's not as big as a sports Emmy that I have, but, you know, it was pretty cool. And then you get the Heisman that Carson Palmer loaned us. Now that's like almost 50 pounds. Yeah, see.
Do you think the gold gloves that they give out now are the same that they did in, say, what, like the late 80s, early 90s, maybe, when HR was playing?
I hope they've upgraded. Because I would not want to win a gold glove if that was what my prize was.
You'd boot a few?
Yeah. I'd be like, I don't want that thing.
Damn good.
Yeah. Like, you can't really put it in with other trophies that you have. Yeah, McClough.
Do we have to be quiet about the Heisman so no one comes after that again? Because there's a pattern.
Oh, I know.
But yeah. Who would come? They have no rights to.
Well, it's Carson Palmer's. But we thought it was Darius Rucker's. And then the Grammys said, you got to get that back. You can't be loaning that out. And I thought, wait, this is Darius's Grammy. And then Darius said, I don't want to upset the Grammys where, you know, I don't win another Grammy. So we had to send it back to him. We had to overnight that damn thing. It probably cost me, you know, $300 to make sure I got it back to Darius. And then we saw Darius. He was joining us and he was in his bedroom and he had his Grammys underneath a nightstand there. It wasn't even on display. We're trying to give the Grammys a little publicity here, and the Grammys could use that. Yes, Todd?
Was it more awesome or disappointing to find out that Carson Palmer was leaving his coveted Heisman Trophy with cobwebs on it, like in the garage, before he sent it to us?
You have actors who have their, you know, Academy Awards that they'll put in the bathroom. I don't know. I think, you know, in Carson's mind, like, I won it, but it doesn't define me, and I don't need to put it on display. Plus, you don't have to worry about somebody stealing it if they don't even know that it's there. Yeah, McClellan.
No, we got to get a hold of a green jacket for the studio.
Yeah, we're not going to get that.
What if our boy John Rahm loves us? What if he wins?
Yeah, but they just don't let that. That would be bad. It would be great, but it would be bad if somebody from Augusta tuned in, somebody from the Masters, like, whose green jacket is that? It's Phil Mickelson's. Phil? Yeah, Paul.
I got the 2020 MLB Gold Glove Award. It's a little different than the one in Harold Reynolds Day, but it appears to be the same spray painted on a perch there. It's pretty cool. It says Rawlings. There's a couple baseballs.
No, it's not cool at all.
It's like a car that has imperfections. If you're 30 feet away, it's a great looking trophy.
Yes.
If you're about 10 feet away, it's a great looking trophy. Once you get up and see that it's a Rawlings glove with spray paint on.
Yeah, it's just, it's
a well done job.
Just missing the macaroni that you put around the thing.
It looks like kind of like the Notre Dame helmets, the kind of gold spray paint. The current Notre Dame helmets.
Yeah. You could make that in shop class and do a better job in shop class. Yes, Todd.
I don't understand why. That's kind of a big deal, winning a gold glove. I know if more than a few people get
I think
them.
It used to be.
How is that not? That's pretty impressive thing to get a gold glove for it to look like some kind of replica
Tell me who won gold gloves last year.
That's a very
exactly.
Good
nobody cares. We used to. We used to care about things like fielding.
But the person that won it cares, and I'm sure would like it to not look like something that came out of shop class in junior high school.
Yes, Paul.
I have a solution. If you win it, let's say you win a gold glove in 2020. The next year, you play the entire season with an actual gold glove. Mm. So when people look down the field, like, hey, why is that shortstop got a gold glove on? He's a winner. So now you get more publicity for it. I'm barely kidding.
No, I think you could do that. But I don't know if they would let you with the color of it. Based upon all these unwritten rules.
Rawlings could put together a special gold-tipped glove. And then when you look in the field and your kid goes, why does that guy have one that's different than everybody else's? Well, because he's one of the best fielders.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Nolan Arenado down at third base, and he's got a gold glove. Yes, Tom.
But if you're making error calls, that much more attention. I thought you were a gold glove, you got this big sparkly thing on your hand, and
well,
it went right through.
I don't know if they're as sensitive as the Astros are, and they don't want to be yelled at. Stop it. Stop booing. We're not going to the All-Star game. Boo-hoo. Let's go around the room, best and worst of the weekend. Todd, I'm going to start with you. It could be best and worst of the week. Since we were on vacation.
My best is Saturday's women's doubles match at Wimbledon. Hopefully I'm going to pronounce this right. Shay Suwei of Taiwan and Elise Mertens of Belgium won the women's doubles title at Wimbledon. I found it very fascinating, the doubles. It was really great. In the process, they saved two match points against the Russian duo of Veronika Kudermetova and Yelena Vesnina.
That was exciting stuff.
European female tennis players.
I do. I think that's I like really, what I like.
You didn't watch the men's doubles, did you?
I did not. But I will say doubles is exciting because they're right up at the net and their shots are coming right at them and they got to hit it back.
And the guys do the same thing and they have the same rules as well. Yeah.
It's double. I figured they'd do something similar, but I preferred watching the women's. Worst Brave Star Ronald. I know. Yeah. I like the beach volleyball. I like what I like.
You're very transparent.
Brave Star Ronald Acuna Jr. Here's the worst. Getting carted off the field Saturday at the Marlins. Tore his right ACL trying to catch a ball at the warning track in the fifth inning. Done for the year.
Yeah. That's sad to see. Great player. McLevin?
My Philadelphia Phillies back to 500 after beating the Red Sox despite losing a huge chunk of their team for COVID rules, which is weird. They're getting widely criticized. That's my worst, too. My other worst is, what's up with England? I'm sorry. I just have to rub it in. Like, what? Why can't they get this right? I was so into it because they were home in the Euro final. To lose like that at home seemed pretty tough.
And Italy was favored, I think a slight favorite, at Wembley.
And you have to keep in mind, I'm the casual fan. Like, guys at all.
I am too. I mean, I do enough research on it, but you know, Italy was a better team.
And I have a question for the soccer guys too. Are penalty kicks, they're not good. That's what I was reading on Twitter. Like, soccer enthusiasts do not like it. They say it's sort of a bad way to end the game.
Well, they did have the extra time. They had 2 15-minute periods there. But it felt like they were very, very conservative, both sides. Yeah, Paul.
Well, with a sport where you run that much, they can't have unlimited play where it just goes on for hours and hours. Like the NBA, you could substitute players more liberally. Hockey, you could even substitute players more liberally. But soccer, there's very few substitutions. You can't have a guy running to death.
Well, how many players do you have?
On the squad, you probably have, Seton, help me out, like 18 players for 11 spots. But there's 3 substitutions a game traditionally. You could expand that for the after.
Yeah.
Since COVID, they've upped that to 5 subs. Yeah. And then when you go to extra time, you can add a 6th. Mm. But other than that, that's all you could do, like, strategically. But, right, England is getting criticized because they had, like, way better players. Well, not better players, but just more experienced players. And they were criticized a lot for playing too conservatively. Once they scored that first goal 2 minutes in, they just kind of sat back and were like, all right, let's just defend. And then, you know, you can't keep that up forever.
Best and worst of the weekend, Seton.
My best is just the audacity of Conor McGregor to still continue talking trash while laying on the canvas getting his broken leg taken care of. He's like, that's right, you. I'm coming for you. He's saying all this stuff. I'm like, dude, they're like carting you off right now and you're still talking trash. It's just unreal.
Yeah.
We've hit it a couple of times, but the pettiness of the back and forth between the Yankees and the Astros, Aaron Judge tugging on his jersey. Right? Yeah. Like, dude, just stop it already, Bolton.
I thought it was funny. And then they rip off Altuve's jersey.
Tattoo, by the way.
Yeah.
Where's his ugly tattoo?
Yeah, I thought he had an ugly tattoo.
That he was afraid of.
Yeah. And the wire that he supposedly had on. Paulie?
A couple of bests of the weekends. The easiest headline of all time. Lightning strikes twice. Tampa Bay repeats as cup champion. Tampa Bay Lightning looked great. They were just dominant the whole way. And I would say the other, I guess it's best and worst. Marv Albert retiring. That's a great broadcaster. He really made the NBA better during his time. It feels like he was the voice of the 80s, 90s, and going forward. A lot of big playoff games that he handled.
Yep. Yeah, kind of took it for granted that Marv was always going to be there with the big game. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show.
What's up, everyone? It's me, 3-time NFL All-Pro Sean Merriman, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Merriman. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, The Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you can get your podcast.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
If you do the quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR onto one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required. And you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick. What if there was someone who wanted to help you find a job? And not a website, but a person, an actual person in your community. That would also do it for free. There is that scenario. Choose Express Employment Professionals, and that's exactly what you get. Express Employment Professionals is the local jobs expert that you can trust. They never charge you. Everything is free. No fee for you to find a job. Go to expresspros.com, find the office nearest to you, or download the Express Jobs app to get started. Wide range of opportunities, variety of industries, welding, sales, forklift operator, customer service. The team at Express is ready to help you or somebody you know find their next career step. Whether you're looking for a contract job or maybe a full-time role, a new one, turn to Express Employment. Interviewing with Express can be as easy as a phone call, or one application with Express Employment will put you in the running for numerous opportunities in your community. Don't go into your job search alone. Visit expresspros.com. Expresspros.com. There's this huge shark there, and they're filming this, and these two guys jumped, basically got close to jumping onto the shark.
Right. We cannot guarantee that this was not doctored, but it looked like, and I have heard that great whites, if they see you, they don't care.
How's their eyesight? See, that's what I would want to know. Like, if they see you, then they won't eat you. But I don't know. Like, are they like 2400 eyesight or something like that? Yeah, Paul.
My ocean policy is if I could see the bottom of the ocean, like if I'm only in waist deep, for some reason I feel safer. Also, if there's a bunch of bigger people a couple feet out in the ocean past me, I figure the shark would have to go through them to get to me.
Yes, Tom.
I wish the shark would know if the person fallen by accident because they tripped or they were daring the shark. Because if I'm the shark and you're playing some kind of game with me, you're done.
Yeah. Like, the shark should have taken one of those guys' feet off, right? Because he was jumping and he was showing off. But if you accidentally fall, like,
just leave the guy alone. Yeah. He slipped.
Reggie Miller, he lives in the water in Malibu, Hall of Famer there. Have you seen sharks there? What's your water policy, Reg?
Until a shark actually walks on land and takes a bite out of me, I'm not going to go into his territory. And I agree with Fritzy. I wonder if the shark actually knows if it's an accidental tip over from the boat, or hey, let's get these cool Instagram pictures with this great white shark. Because the shark would be like, are you serious? You want Instagram pictures? All right, come a little bit closer. Come here. Come here.
Wait, but you live in Malibu, but you don't go in the water?
No. Number one, it's too cold. And no, I that's a whole nother world. I don't. Now, a lot of people have tried Laird Hamilton. Took me paddleboarding once, and I feared for my life. I feared for my life because he's like the real life Aquaman. He can, yeah. You know, he speaks to dolphins and sharks and whales and all that. And he's like, hey, you paddle like this and just breathe, and you feel with one of the nation. And I'm like trying to hold on for dear life, like the balance and all that. And he's just like, oh, this, he's doing it with 1 foot out. He's holding it, the oar. I'm like, dude, get me back to land.
But you're always on your mountain bike. Have you ever encountered any animals?
Other than rattlesnakes and one mountain lion, but I saw the mountain lion from a distance and turned around quickly, very quickly. But you always hop rattlesnakes all the time. You're always hopping rattlesnakes.
Yeah, but you don't look like a meal to a mountain lion, though, Reg.
You don't think I would?
No. I don't think.
I think I would be a delicious 6-7 meal for a mountain lion.
If you're going to ride, I'd ride next to Oliver Miller.
Oh, that's the Miller time, yeah. That the mountain lion, yeah, would be looking, yeah, for. Not Reggie Miller, but
no,
Oliver Miller.
The USA lost to Nigeria in a friendly basketball game. Is this a big deal, Reg, for our Olympic team?
I'm not ready to jump off the cliff quite yet. It's only alarming because when the team was assembled, I looked at the roster, and the first thing I said to myself, there's not a lot of size.
Yeah.
And
well, isn't Draymond a center?
Him and Bam, I guess, are the centers on this team. They have a lot of wing players, a lot of guard play. Again, that's the way the game is trending towards. But I look at, I don't know what bigs we really could have added for size. Most of the true big men are international players. Joel Embiid, Jokic, even DeAndre Ayton, who's playing fantastic for Phoenix in this series, is from the Bahamas. So I don't know if we really had a lot of size. I'm not that alarmed. Nigeria? I mean, wait, what happens when you play France or Spain, yeah, or Argentina? Teams that are well-versed in international play, I've got to see a little bit more. Even Australia, I know they have an exhibition game with Australia coming up. Australia has some NBA players and talent, so we'll just have to wait and see.
Well, we had Michael Wilbon on in the first hour, and he said the All-Star game should be the U.S. against the world. And there would be true pride there, certainly for the world to try to beat the United States. You could build you could have a pretty good roster of the world versus the U.S. What do you think of that idea?
I love it. And I think at some point, I think it's trending that way. And I think Adam Silver has looked into that. I think it would be fantastic. And it's almost safe to say we may be the underdogs. I'm not saying we wouldn't win, but we very well could be the underdogs if that game was to shape out with today's players, because they would certainly have the size. I know we would have LeBron and KD, Harden, Kyrie, Steph. I mean, we would be loaded, but so would they.
They'd have some big men, that's for sure. You throw in Luka in there as well. You got players from Canada. I mean, you could build a pretty good roster, but I'd love that it would mean something, because I think when we watch and it's, you know, it's just up and down, it's an and one game where you're just having fun and dunking, which if that's what fans want, then I'm fine with that. The fans should have it, be able to decide this, what they want to watch. But I think you could get that us against them, that pride a little bit, unless the commissioner doesn't want it to be divisive where it feels like we're pitting, you know, us against them, and there is some kind of separation.
Well, why not? Why not bring out some juices, though?
Oh, I know.
Why not bring out that competitive spirit? I'm sure there's trash talking that goes on with guys, you know, between Jamal Murray, who's Canadian, he would probably be on that world team,
yeah,
along with Jokic. I mean, why not, you know, have some competitive spirit going on? I think it would be great.
When the Suns went up 2-0, you thought?
They did what they had to do. They held home court.
Did you think it was over?
No.
Okay.
Because Milwaukee plays, obviously, very well at home. Two things, though, that have emerged to be very clear in this series. Number one, they have zero answer for Giannis Antetokounmpo. Whether it's DeAndre Ayton and his size trying to guard him, they downgraded and put Jay Crowder on him, Mikal Bridges. It doesn't matter. His size, his offensive rebounding, and now that he's starting to hit free throws, last night was his best trek to the free throw line. They have no answer for him. And number two, when Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday play reasonable, this Milwaukee Bucks team is very difficult to beat. But when Phoenix went up 2-0, they did what they had to do. They held home court. Now Milwaukee is one game away from doing the same thing. At some point in time, Milwaukee obviously has to win a road game to win an NBA championship. I was more impressed that they put something on the mind of Phoenix now, because they blew them out. And it was, I mean, they just ran them out the gym, especially in that third quarter. So game four, we'll see if Devin Booker is not going to score 10 points and shoot that terrible. So he'll have a bounce back game. But game four is everything. That will tell me everything about this series.
I still watch Giannis, and I was talking to Wilbon about this, that why can't I just have him do what he's great at doing? Not the other stuff where he's not even good at taking three-point shots. And I don't want him dribbling the ball up the floor. If he dribbles up the floor, I can build a wall there. If I put him down low, now you got to decide. You want to double him? And that's where I got Lopez, Holiday, and Chris Middleton. And it's incumbent upon them to hit those shots. But you can't guard the Greek Freak down low with one person. And I can get you in foul trouble. He's going to get to the hoop. That's what I want. You know, Shaq, I never said, boy, you've got to hit some jumpers. Or, you know, Kareem, you got to come out to the free throw line. Like, I never said any of it. I just thought, man, they're unstoppable. That's what I want them to continue to do. Why is it that Mike Budenholzer still has the Greek Freak out on the perimeter?
Well, I will say this. I wouldn't take away him not bringing the ball up, because in the open court, when he gets ahead of steam, very difficult to stop, especially with that Euro step. So you don't want to take away that part of his
game. I'm okay in transition, Reg.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. I will say the thing about the three-point shots, and it kills me. You and I have talked about this for the last 2 months during the playoffs. If he's going to settle for threes, they're going to lose. They're going to lose the NBA championship. To me, they're dare shots that teams give him. Make up the difference. I don't care if they're giving me dare shots. Make up the difference and then go into what you're alluding to, the spin move, one dribble, and you're at the rim, or you're finding your shooters. And we saw that really in these first three games versus Phoenix. I think in game one, he wasn't sure. He was still worried about the hyperextension of the knee. He wasn't playing the game instinctual.
Which people aren't factoring in what he's been able to do with an injury that I had. Channing Frye told me, he said, I had the same thing. I don't think he plays again. He said it took me 6 weeks to recover from that.
Greek Freak, you know, he mends remarkable, and how he's finishing too, because the moves are crisp. They're clean, they're decisive, and you're right. Monty Williams is going to have to make a decision of doubling. But when you double, Coach Budenholzer loves the three ball. They average 40 threes a game. They haven't shot them great, but they love shooting them. And at some point in time, they're going to start making them, Dan. And if you're Phoenix, the problem is, if this series ends up 2-2, game five on the road, it's one of those games where you think everything is going to start clicking for Milwaukee. I still like Phoenix. I had Phoenix winning in seven. But I think this is going to go the distance. I think Milwaukee wins tomorrow. And again, all Phoenix has to do is win home games, and they win it all.
Yeah.
So I think it's a 7-game series. It's going to go the distance. Both of these teams are well matched, but zero answer for Giannis. And if Holiday and if Middleton contributes a little bit, then Milwaukee will win the championship.
I was talking to Wilbon about this as well, that, you know, we look at the Lakers and somehow we want to always put the best player on the Lakers. Like LeBron's going to get Damian Lillard. And then I always say, but who's Portland getting in return? Right. And, you know, Wilbon said, you know, you're right, but there's this, would you trade Anthony Davis for Damian Lillard if you were the Lakers?
No, absolutely not. As much as I love Damian Lillard, Lillard has to have the ball in his hands to be successful. That's what made him great.
Yep.
Great isolation, one-on-one, high pick and roll player. For LeBron, what he's done throughout his career needs the ball to be successful. I don't think they would play well off of one another. I just don't. And I think that's why Anthony Davis is a perfect complement, if he can stay healthy,
I know,
to LeBron.
Okay, so then if you're the Lakers.
I will say this. You know who would be better on that team? CJ McCollum would be great on the Lakers with LeBron.
Okay, so how do you get him? Do you do a sign and trade with Dennis Schroeder?
Yes, I would get rid of Schroeder, and I would possibly think about getting rid of Kyle Kuzma.
I would keep
Jalen Horton Tucker. I like him. I would break Caruso out of jail in Texas and get him back. And yeah, I would get rid of Schroeder and Kuzma for CJ McCollum. I would. I think he would be perfect for the Lakers.
I don't know if Kuzma wants to be great. Like, you can get caught up in the trappings of being in Hollywood. And we talked about this with the younger guys when LeBron wanted those guys out. Like, you kind of get caught up in, I'm a Laker and the lifestyle. And, you know, like.
I don't sense that from Caruso.
Not Caruso. Kuzma.
Oh, yeah. I think he's caught up.
Got your hair blonde and, you know, you're dating a Kardashian or something. And
I think he. As much as I love Kyle, his rookie year, I thought he played fantastic.
Yes.
I think he got caught up.
Yeah.
He got up in the lifestyle. Now he has a ring.
But it felt like Ingram needed to get out because of his personality. And even, you know, Lonzo Ball, like the personality, sometimes you wonder, like, you got to be ready for L.A. And you know, and I wonder some of these, you've seen, like, could Tim Duncan – other than San Antonio, like, it just felt like that's where Tim Duncan was supposed to be, or David Robinson. Like, there's certain guys you just go, their personality fits that city and vice versa.
I agree. And look, Kyle Kuzma is a great player. He thinks he could be a double-double type guy. I'm not saying he can't, but he had plenty of opportunity to be – really an all-NBA type player when LeBron was gone for those 30-something games as well as AD. He had a chance.
Yeah.
He really had an opportunity, and he didn't deliver. I'm not saying he can't, but you had an opportunity.
But LeBron can stunt your growth too, because you're not quite sure, what am I allowed to do? I mean, not to the extent like with Michael Jordan, but, you know, when you're there with LeBron, it's like, how do
No, it's called expectations. He can't raise his expectations playing with a generational type player. No. LeBron elevates guys. Think about some of the teams that LeBron took to the finals in Cleveland. Like, where are these guys now? So he's not stunting Kyle Kuzma. Booby Gibson was a starting point guard. Come on, man. Did he stunt his?
Eric Snow.
Come on, man. No.
Did you hear Jamal Mashburn's story about Larry Bird?
No.
This is when the college guys were playing against the Dream Team. So it's Weber and Rodney Rogers. And Mash was telling the story that Rodney Rogers is giving Bird grief. You know, that, you know, you haven't been anything since 1984. And this is after, I think they beat them in one of the scrimmages. And they were.
The first scrimmage, right.
Yeah. And so Bird checks into the game in the next one, and Mashburn was telling the story that Rodney Rogers was guarding him, and Magic gave him the ball like 8 times in a row. And Larry is telling him where he's going to shoot. And then I think he made the last one. He goes, yeah, just like 1984. And Weber said, Chris Weber said it was an assassination of Rodney Rogers. And, you know, Rodney loved to talk, but when hearing Mashburn tell the story, it was really funny, you know.
That's Larry Legend at his finest, because not only was he doing that against, you know, Rogers, who at the time was a, you know, a college player, he was doing that to Chuck Person during a playoff game. I'm going to go here. I'm going to shoot this shot. I'm going to fade away. I'm going to make it with my left. Next time I come down, I'm going to do it with my right. I just watch my footwork. Chuck, hey, Chuck, watch my footwork now. Okay.
And then Weber said that Bird would get mad whenever there was a white guy guarding him. Like, he would get so mad that there's not a white guy on the planet and guard me. And he would get so angry when somebody, like Marley, when Dan Marley, I think he wouldn't talk to Dan Marley because he was a rookie. He refused to talk to Dan Marley. And he would talk to, like, Andrew Langer, somebody, and say, you send the message to Dan Marley. He said, he wouldn't, and Marley said he wouldn't talk to me because I was a rookie.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. Let's see. So you got the Suns in 7.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Not bad. What do you got?
I think Chris Paul, Devin Booker, other than last night, because Chris Paul played pretty well in the first half. I think the guard play has been fantastic for Phoenix, and Booker is not going to shoot that bad, score 10 points. I think he'll have a bounce back game. But until they find an answer for that Greek freak.
They won't have an answer for him. They don't. They have to have answers for Holiday and Middleton that those guys can't get off. And if they do, with the Greek freak doing what he does, I mean, these are, by the way, 40-point, 10-rebound games.
And easy, too. Easy.
I know.
I mean, he's getting them. Everything is just about in the paint. But you're right, because of the inconsistency of Middleton and Holiday, which we've seen,
I know,
if they can't be consistent, Phoenix is going to win this series. If they're consistent, Milwaukee can come back and win this, and winning one on the road.
Thank you, Reg. Great to talk to you.
Theodore, I love you. I love my dad, Nats. Hey, sorry. Hey, give well wishes to your brother, man. I mean, fly fishing. Who knew that was such a combat sport, man?
No, oh, no. I know. I put the fly in fly fishing.
Okay. I mean, next time, pad up, bring some pads, a helmet. That would help, a helmet.
We were going to buy my brother a helmet that you give to a little kid when they're first learning to ride a bike, just so he'd go fly fishing in case he flew out of the boat again. Thank you, Reg.
You're the best, Theodore.
All right.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful fingersticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch, so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.